prayers of life. We're in the 55th Psalm, Psalm 55. In Psalm 54, David is crying out to God to avenge the wrong that's been done to him by a friend. Now, it's assumed that the friend he refers to there is his son Absalom, though we don't know for certain. Well, the 55th Psalm has a similar theme. But in addition to his plea for help, he points out God's faithfulness in his time of need. And I would say we often have needs, and among the greatest needs of our lives, I believe, is dealing with the cares of life. Well, tonight we're going to consider David's cares and how God instructed him to deal with them. And my hope is that we will learn to respond similarly to the cares in our lives. I'll read the entirety of the 55th Psalm. I'd ask you to stand if you're able to do so to honor the public reading of God's precious word. I'm going to focus on just a couple of verses, but we'll read the entirety for context. Psalm 55, the psalmist says this, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. Think about that. "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it, up on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who approaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God. And the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Aren't you glad? "He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old." Selah. Think about that. "Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Hide me that you might be seen." I do pray that the forces of darkness and evil that do everything in their power to interfere with and disrupt our lives might be bound from this place, bound from this property, and bound from these people. For we are yours, purchased by the shed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wicked one has no authority over us except that which we give him. Father, we refuse him any authority. In the name that's above all names, the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. So have your way in the hearts and lives of your people. If any do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, might something be said or done tonight that this might be the day of their salvation. But Father, might we all leave from here having cast our burdens on you, that we might experience joy for the journey and victory in Jesus, and in that way be a blessing to you and to all that we encounter each day. And for what you do, we'll give you praise and thanks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. David is experiencing great heartache as a result of the mistreatment from his friends. You know, few things in life are as painful as being betrayed by a friend. I think we fail to recognize our vulnerability, but we are most vulnerable around those that we love so deeply. And yet, as we look at the big picture, it's worth the risk of being hurt to get to enjoy the loving relationship. Think about that. Because here are the burdens in David's life at this point. He's experiencing heartache, betrayal by one very near to him. Perhaps again, Absalom and his cohorts. Verse 4, my heart is severely pained within me. You know, a broken heart is a heavy burden to bear. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The truth of the matter is, none of us can bear a broken spirit. When our spirit is broken, when we have been wounded deeply by those we love, we aren't where we should be with God, we'll be crushed by it. I'm so grateful for God's provision for us in that regard. For in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25, it says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble when it comes. He's saying not if it comes, but when it comes. No matter what comes your way, and you feel overwhelmed momentarily by terror, he's saying, don't go there. You reject that by trusting in me and know that I'll never leave you or forsake you. God's promise to meet our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, if we will simply trust him. But trust is a key word. We must have faith in God in order to gain the victory over fear. So he's battling with heartache and horror. Also, he's wrestling with some hindrances in verse 6. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest. You know, I think we've all been there, where the world just seems so heavy and our circumstances so overwhelming, we just want to run away and hide. And if we had also his burden or his guilt, he knows that he is at fault in this process. He's to blame. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I'll raise up adversity against you from within your own house. Think about that. When your loved ones are hurting, it deeply pains you. You'll do anything to stop their pain. You'll do anything to ease their discomfort. Why? Because you love them deeply. You care about them deeply. You want the best for their life. Well, imagine now your loved ones are suffering and it's your fault. It's the judgment of God in your life because you have brought such shame and reproach against the kingdom by your own self-serving sinfulness. That's exactly where David is. His family is suffering deeply, being torn apart. And it's his fault, and he knows it. I would tell you that those are considerable cares that he's having to grapple with on a continual basis. And yet, amid these crushing burdens, the word of God speaks clearly to him and through him to us. For he says in verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. The word there, cast, is to throw out or to throw away, to cast off or to cast down or to hurt. And the burden there he speaks of is that which is by divine providence. In this case, it's God's divine providence that he is experiencing that chastening for his sin. It's a burden which must be borne. When I read that passage of scripture, I was instantly reminded of the passage in 1 Peter that's very similar. For a living, having to pay the bills, having to provide for your family, for your children, having to save money for that rainy day, for emergencies. He realized we're going to have cares, being concerned for our friends and loved ones that aren't right with God, perhaps are rejected Jesus Christ, and it makes us crazy. We love them so we want them to get it. And if we could make them get it, we would do so, whatever was necessary, and so we grieve about that. We have cares about getting old and maintaining our health so that we don't become dependent on others. We have cares about our children and our grandchildren. We worry about the world they're growing up in and whether or not they'll even have the freedom to worship as we do in another 20 years. Whether there'll be enough positive influences in their life for them to seek God. or whether they will give in to the god of this world and his deception and reject so weak and so frail and so often give in to the temptations of this life and find ourselves over and over and over again asking God for forgiveness, hoping to be restored to sweet fellowship with God. The list goes on and on and on of the cares that we have in this life. And they're very real. And guess what? God's not surprised by any of them. And he gives us specific instruction on how to handle them. The second thing this shows us is God knows there is but one way to successfully deal with our care. And that is give them to him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." The yoke is an instrument that's used to attach multiple horses or mules or oxen to allow them to pull on the same load. He's saying here, "Take my yoke. Come alongside me, your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you." The word cast, I'll tell you again, means to throw down, to throw away, to cast off, to hurl, to throw away. He's saying, "I want you to come to me with all your cares and just throw them away and don't take them back out of the trash." I suspect I'm not the only one who has inadvertently or accidentally or even unknowingly thrown something important away. And you say, "Where is that deed? Where's that car title? Where's that receipt?" "I don't know." "Well, it was right here on the counter." "It was not there now." "Well, you must have moved it." "Maybe you threw it away." "Oh, I would never throw it away." Then you begin to think, "You know, I might have thrown that away. Now I got to go hit the trash. And even though it's my trash, it's just gross. I just hate it. I don't mind taking the trash out because we got those bags. You just kind of zip the top. And it's all kind of mysteriously contained there. But now I got to open it up. And it smells bad. It's kind of been sitting there simmering just waiting for you. And you got to go wade through it. Just get your hands all in that stuff. And then you find it and it's got, oh, all kinds of terrible stuff on it. You got to clean it off. You just say, oh my, I don't want to go through the trash." That's the picture he's painting here. "I want you to take your cares. I want you to throw them in the trash. And I want you to leave them there. Don't go sifting through that trash. Don't go taking that stuff back. You've given it away. You have hurled it far from you." That's the picture. Throwing it so far away, it's much too troublesome to have to go to where you've thrown it. Think about that. I have a grandson who throws everything. His dad wants him to be a ball player in the worst kind of way. The worst kind of way. At Christmas, they were over there. My wife has some lovely Christmas glass balls hanging from the chandelier over the breakfast table. He and his cohort in crime were sitting there. And while neither of them wants to tell for sure, one of them pulled the ball off and the other one flung it. And it just exploded. But you can watch the one that's intended to be a ball player, because he gets real tired when he has to go chase the ball that he's thrown. He's not very accurate. I used to really wrestle with trying to have games of pitch with Leela. And she throws like this. And she gets real tired. So then you've got to go get it and throw it again. And she says, "You don't want to go. It's been hurled way down there in the other field. You don't want to go down there." That's the picture. He's saying, just fling it away and let it go. Because that's the solution. If trying to make it a nice little bundle so that the whoever's taking the trash can just drop it right in. Picture. Take all your cares. Take the napkin from your lap and wrap it all up in that bundle, so that it's tied together closely, and then there's some mass. You can hurl it away, far, far away, and forget it. And that's what some of us need to do tonight. The cares of this life have overwhelmed. And they are such a distraction now. We have been robbed of our peace. We have been robbed of our joy. We have been robbed of the victory that's ours in Jesus Christ. And that's a tragedy. Ought not be. And so I want us to have as an object lesson this evening. I've got my sheet here and I've already written on it. And you can't see what I've written. And I brought a trash can because Jeff will have a fit if we just hurl these all over the auditorium. So I'm going to give you a minute. I'm going to pray. I want to ask each of you to join me and write down the cares that have you most entangled. And I want you to take it and I want you to wad it up in whatever form you need to. And I want you to bring it right here and throw it in that trash can. Hurl it away. Now I'm going to take that trash can and I'm going to seal it up right here and nobody's ever going to look at it. Nobody's ever going to go through it. I'm going to make sure, give you my word of honor, that it'll be destroyed. Because I want you to have complete confidence that what you've thrown away is thrown away. And I want you to leave it there. When you go back to your seat, in whatever order God leads, I want you to go back free. I want you to go back convinced. I want you to go back trusting that God is God. And He understands your cares and He is entirely sufficient to meet that need if you'll but trust Him. Father, thank You for loving us enough that You're even, that our God is God. And we don't have to worry about a thing. We don't have to worry about the past. We don't have to worry about the present. We don't have to worry about the future because our God is God, the great I Am. And we love You and praise You for who You are. And I pray that You might be blessed and glorified in every expression of faith this evening. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as the Lord leads. Lots of cares. Lots of frustration. I'm blessed that some really are just flinging it in there. Getting rid of it for good. That's what we need to do. And we can by trusting in God. He cares deeply for us. We are precious in His sight. He loves us beyond all that we can even imagine or comprehend, and has a great plan and purpose for our life. And the devil tries to steal that with all the cares that he heaps on us. And tonight can be the turning point that we're no longer going to fall for his tricks or traps, but rather are fully determined to have victory in Jesus Christ. Well, thank You for coming. Would you stand to your feet? If God's spoken to your heart, this altar's up. You can come and pray. LeBron's here. I'll be here as well. Others can come as need be to pray with you. But as Brent leads us, how would you choose? Would you come? have set you free from those cares that have held you back, and you'll leave from here victorious in Jesus Christ, determined to do His will and to be His presence in this world, in your workplace, in your school, in your home, wherever you might be, in your church, that others might be drawn to Him and His irresistible love through us. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you back on Wednesday evening as we get back on our regular schedule. And then this coming Sunday, just be in prayer. Make yourself mindful of those divine appointments God has for us, that we might indeed be a blessing to Him and impact others with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I please ask Troy to dismiss us, please, sir?